Part 13, continued. Canto 6, Chapter 11, Text 17. I'll make a garland out of their heads, their skulls, and all these Bhutnaths, Bhairav, etc., they will wear those garlands and they'll dance. They'll wear all these new garlands, you understand? If your men even dare to attack me, I'll sever everyone's heads. This Vitasuk, he was able to cut millions of heads at one time and throw it at Kailash. He was so powerful. Must be a long time that they have received. It's called Mundamal, means a mala made of mundas, the heads. It must be a long time they got fresh garlands. I will throw fresh garlands at them from here. This is how he was talking. At the same time, he was showing his trident. These foolish demigods that they're walking behind you, the Varuna, etc., these foolish demigods, this is what will happen to them. Your brothers, Aditya, Vasus, all these, whoever they are, all the fresh heads I will throw at Kailash for them to make a fresh garland, and the blood that will come out, that will flow, the juice, I'll pack all the blood and give it to Bhadrakali as an offering. Blood will always also fall, wouldn't it? In other words, he was saying, I will not leave anyone. All your armies are showing me their weapons. They're showing me their weapons, aren't they? I'll finish all of them. But actually, in the end, he wanted to leave his body. So immediately, he changes his bhav, his way of talking, and he talks to Indra now, in this way.
Satra Mirlo Bhut Balin Nidhaya Manasvinam Padaraja Prapakshe.
Text 18. O Indra, but then that is also possible that you may cut my head off with your thunderbolt. Now he's changed his tone of talking. It's possible that he says, Mam Shiro Harta, that my Shira, my head, you can cut off. Here he's calling Indra Hare. He's saying Atho Hare, means O Hare, King Indra. And if this happens, that you will cut my head off with your thunderbolt, you know what I will do. You know what I will do if you cut my head off? At that time, I will receive the dust of the great devotees like Narad Muni. And I will go, that will be my destination. I will go to my Lord's abode. I will go to the Lord, and in this world I will give a very great, huge feast. Can you see how huge my body is? How much flesh will come out of my body? In this world, as many, whatever number of animals there are, such as jackals and dogs and vultures, they will all feast on my flesh. They will all be satisfied. So if you kill me, if you sever my head, there will be a feast, there will be a festival on both sides. I will go to the Lord's abode and there will be a feast on this place. For all the living entities. All the devil, bhut balim vidhaya. Bhut means all the living entity. Balim means I will offer. I will offer this body to all the living entities to be tripped for satisfaction of them. Because you are brave. Because you have also won a lot of battles. You have done 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. You are also a very brave warrior. And to protect your position as Indra, as the king of heaven, you've had to fight with many a demon battle. You are brave. You are veer. It's not that you are a weak person. First he was saying that I will chop you into pieces, and all your assistants, I will sever their heads and send it to Bhairav and their leaders and all the ghosts. They all wear these kind of garlands. As soon as his bhav, his feelings, they changed, he says, but it can happen that maybe you will kill me, and this is what will happen to me. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, E Chaya Goshai Yar Mui Tar Das Tar Sabar Pada Renu Mora Pancha Grass. I am the servant of Goswamis, and the dust of their lotus feet provides my five kinds of food. A Vaishnav always desires the dust of the lotus feet of the Acharyas and Vaishnavas. It was Vittasu's great desire that he will have the association of the pure devotees. He was very sad for this one fact that he always had the association of demons. He was born in a demoniac family and he never had the association of pure devotees. And he is always hankering to be with pure devotees like Narad Muni. All of Vittasura's followers were all demoniac persons. They were always against the demigods, and they were always against Lord Vishnu. This has been always the association of Vittasura, and he was very sad about this fact. And unfortunately he had taken birth in the demon family, and he had to associate with demoniac persons all his life. So if you kill me, I will enter into the society of devotees. I will enter into the society of the Lord. It will be good if you kill me. I will go over there and my body will fall here, and my body is so huge, for many years so many living entities will be feasting on this flesh. But Lord Indra was now really afraid, and he was not throwing his vajra. And after saying this, Vittasura says in text 19. He's saying, O king of the demigods, he's saying Suresh. Suresh means the Isha of the Suras, the lord of the demigods. Kasman hinoshi vajram. Why? Why not? Why don't you hurl your vajra at me? Why don't you hurl your vajra at me? Purasthite varini maya mogham. Why do you think this infallible thunderbolt or vajra of yours has been created? I'm standing in front of you. For which day is this Vajra being created? Vairi, I'm your Vairi. Vairi means one who's in opposition, your enemy. I'm your Vairi. I'm your. Just now, did you see how I attacked your elephant and he almost died? I could have attacked you and killed you. Now look, I'm standing in front of you. Shoot at me. And it's not that I have become your friend. I'm still your enemy. I'm standing in front of you. You shoot at me, otherwise I will kill you. Suresh Kasman Hinoshi Vajram. For what reason are you not shooting at me? What are you thinking? Your Vajra, your thunderbolt is amog. Amog, it means infallible. And your enemy, I'm right, purastite, I'm standing in front of you. Vairini, your enemy. Suppose Indra said, well, you might throw this Vajra back at me then. Suppose Indra said, I don't believe your words. You're telling me to throw this Vajra at you, and what if you, just like my club, you catch my Vajra and throw it back at me? I don't believe you. Suppose Indra was asking like that. So that's why in this verse, Vitasura is saying, Amogham, your Vajra is Amog. It's infallible. It will not do like your club did. It's infallible. It's bound to kill. It will not go in vain. Whoever it's been shot at, it will have to kill that person. This is the infallible nature of your Vajra. Just as, he says in this verse, Syanish Phalam Kripan, Kripanar Theva Yachya. He says, just as if somebody makes a request of money from a miser, the request fails. In the same way, your thunderball will not fail you in that way. You should have no doubts about this. Here he is giving the example of a miser, this Vitasura. Sometimes people go and request for something from a person who is the most miserly person. He doesn't want to give anything. We call him kanjus. Makhi chus means one who will lick a makhi. Makhi means a fly. There was a person. He was eating some dal. So one fly fell inside his dal. So he took the fly out, and threw it out. So he took the fly out of his dal and threw it away. But then he said, he looked that the fly was covered with some of the dal. So he put the fly in his mouth and he sucked the dal out. That's called makhi chus, person who would lick off a fly. He's so miserly, he will not even let that much go. He could have just drank the dal and left that fly with a little bit of dal on it. But there are people like that in this world. They will not even leave one cent. They would lick off every single cent. They don't even want to give $1, $1, what to speak of a dollar. They don't like to give. They've never learned how to give. So if somebody goes and takes some hope of getting something from this kind of makhi juice person, and that kind of hope is totally useless. So it's useless. In the same way, it is totally useless to think that your thunderbolt will not do what it's supposed to. It's a useless thought. It's bound to kill me. There's no doubt about this. Suresh, he's calling him Suresh. Kasman hi no Shivaja. What is the reason? Why aren't you killing? You know your vajra is amog. Just shoot. That's all you have to do. Just throw it at me. You know I'm alone. All my soldiers have run away. Now the victory is all yours. It's in your hand. You just shoot, and I'm dead. And then you're victorious. That's all you have to do. He's really encouraging Indra. It seemed that I trampled on all your men, and therefore you threw your mace at me, and I threw it back at your elephant. So have no faith in your mace. That's okay. Forget the mace. Throw that weapon of yours. Throw this thunderbolt weapon. Come on.
Text 20.
He's calling him, hey, Shakra. Shakra means one who has, it's another name for Indra, one who has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. He says, this thunderbolt that you carry is meant to kill me, and it's empowered by the prowess, effulgence of Lord Vishnu, and it has the strength of the Dichi's austerities. It has the power of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and it also has the power of his devotee, the Dichi. This is bound to kill me. Just think of the history, how this vajra, this thunderbolt has been made. Think about it. There is the blessing. There is the blessing of Lord Hari. Harer dadhi ches tapasa cha tejitaha. There is the teja of the Supreme Lord and the tapasya, austerity of the dadhichi. And for that reason, this vajra is very powerful. It's invincible. With this, vajra, you can kill me. I'm saying all this, and in the end, I'm your enemy. And if you still don't want to kill me, then you understand that I'm going to kill you. I am your enemy. And I also know that Vishnu and Lord Vishnu has given you an order to kill me. Why don't you follow the order of Lord Vishnu? He is siding with you. Always stay under the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who works according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord is always victorious. The Supreme Lord has ordered you. Follow the order and you kill me. And then the victory will be yours. He's saying yato harir vijaya shrir guna tatha. He says wherever there is hari, there is vijaya, there is victory, shrir, there is opulence, and guna tatha, all good qualities, these are assured.
Mm-hmm.
on your side will be victory. Don't you worry, because Lord Vishnu is on your side. What a great, beautiful thing Vitrasura is preaching to Indra. He says, Yato Harir Vijaya Sri Guna. Wherever there is Hari, that's where the victory, opulence and all good fortune are. Whoever has Lord Krishna on his side, that person is victorious, that person has money, that person has all good qualities. So I'm requesting you, please kill me. So suppose you don't want to listen to me, at least listen to the order of Lord Vishnu, which he personally gave to you. In the previous line, he calls him Vishnu Yantrita. Vishnu Yantrita is considered a person who is always under the supremacy of Vishnu. It's called Vishnu Yantrita. The devotees are Vishnu Yantritas. Yantra means that like a machine, that acts under the order of the operator. So a devotee is totally controlled by Lord Vishnu. They're called Vishnu Yantrita. So here, Vritasura is calling Indra Vishnu Yantrita. You're a devotee controlled by Lord Vishnu. You have his order. Like Arjun. In front of Arjun, when he was fighting, he had no thought of what's religion or what's irreligion, what's good or bad. Whatever Krishna said, he did it. He's called Vishnu Yantra. A devotee does not see what he wants to do. He just does what is the order of the Lord. It was a very hard thing for Arjun to kill his own relatives, his guru, his brothers, his uncles, his nephews. To kill all these affectionate relatives of his, he was crying. It was very difficult. In the end, he could understand Krishna's desire, that he has to just follow Krishna's instruction. So Vritasura is making Indra remember. Tava Shakra Tejasa, Hare Dadhichi Tapasa. He is reminding him again and again that your Vajra has been made a most invincible weapon. With that same Vajra, you kill your enemy, because Lord is on your side. Actually, in the end, Vritasura also says to Indra that actually he says the Supreme Lord Vishnu is on my side. He's not on your side, really. Even though he's letting you kill me, and he is on my side, because he's, by killing me, he's letting me go to the spiritual world with him, and you shall remain here. Don't think that because he is giving you the heavens, he has more mercy on you. He has more mercy on me. Later on, he tells him this. Here, later on, Vitasura will be telling him how to understand, whether you have the mercy of the Lord or not. This is a Siddhanta to be understood.
Hari Vidya Sri Gunat Pata.
In this last verse, he said, "Yato Hari Vijaya Shri Guna Statha." Every person in this world desires to have victory, to have money, to have good qualities. I can live long. More, I have a lot of gyan. I'm successful in life, and I have a lot of money. Then he should understand that he should surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Sanjaya in Mahabharata, Sanjaya also had told this to Dhritarashtra. After speaking the whole Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, Sanjaya says, he says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhute. Same thing. So in the beginning, Dhritarashtra had asked, what did my sons and the sons of Pandavas do in this battle? So after repeating the whole Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, Sanjay is speaking to the same Dhritarashtra. He's saying, see Maharaj, on the side of which has Yogeshwara Krishna and Gandiv Dhari Arjun, holder of the Gandiva bow, the victory will be of that side, and all your 100 sons will be killed. Even now you can call them and stop this battle, because it's definite that the victory will be on the side of Yudhishthira, because Krishna is on his side and Arjuna is on his side. And so it's for sure that your party is going to lose. All your 100 sons will die. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. On whichever side is Yogeshwara Krishna and Dhanudhar Arjun. This has been spoken to Dhritarashtra. And 10 days had passed in the battle. Bhishma, Pitama Bhishma, he had fallen. And after hearing that Bhishma had fallen, this Dhritarashtra was saying, "Oh my God, oh my God," for a long time. Then he says, "Tell me from the beginning, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, and tell me what they're all doing. Tell me from the beginning." After hearing Bhishma fell and crying, he is telling him, "Again, tell me from the beginning, what did the sons of Pandavas and my sons do? Tell me everything in detail," because he could not see. After speaking all the Bhagavad Gita, he is giving his own commentary to Dhritarashtra. He is saying, "Look, the party that Pandava's party has Krishna, and is Arjun. Tatra Shri Vijay. In that same side is Dharma, in that same side is victory, in the same side is opulence and all good qualities." Just the same thing that Vitasura is telling here to Indra. Unnecessarily your 100 sons are fighting, just like today you heard that Bhishma, Pitama, Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma has fallen. You will hear one by one the news of all your 100 sons falling. You will have to, you are bound to hear this very sharp bad news in your ears one day. Then what will you do? And every day Sanjay used to give him full report. While he used to describe, he used to tell him, today Bhim, he killed so many of your sons. Bhim had sworn that he will kill so many sons, and every day he was reading the report to Dhritarashtra. Today so many died. And every day, oh my God, oh my God, Dhritarashtra used to cry. He used to also chastise him to Dhritarashtra that, look, you got to stop now, this is what will happen, but this Dhritarashtra would not take his word. He would just say, tell me what happened next. He just had hope, maybe still Duryodhan will survive, and he maybe still, you know, one of his sons, few of them will survive and have the throne. Let Krishna do what he wants to do. Even Dhritarashtra said that this Krishna had appeared to take the burden away from the Mother Earth. Dhritarashtra even knew this. He said this. And sometimes in between, even he used to offer obeisances to Lord Krishna. He said, I know he has come to relieve the earth. These people will, those who are dharmic, they will have to be killed. Sometimes in between, in between. He used to say, whatever Krishna wants will happen. But what the attachment, the affection I have for my sons is not going. This moha, this, I am not able to give it up. He even had said to Krishna before, I know what is dharma. I know what is right and wrong, but I have no interest in dharma. I am attached to my son. And what is adharma, that also I know, but I am not able to take my mind away from adharma. I know what's dharma, but I cannot accept it. I know what's adharma, and I cannot let it go. He said straight to Vidura that there is somebody in my heart that's making me think like this. Actually, Dhritarashtra was Krishna's own jana. He was his own associate. He had come to this world and he was doing this drama of being in the opposite party, of being a non-devotee. But they were all his Krishna's parshads. Sometimes we see that the actors that take part in a play, they do some drama, some play where they are enemies, and they fight, they hate each other. But as soon as the play is finished, again they're friends and they sit around and, you know, their normal relationship. Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, they were all parshads, associates of the Lord. But Jarasandha, he was not. Jarasandha was not an associate of the Lord. They were all rascals. But Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, they were all liberated souls. That's why Duryodhan also satisfied, the Lord also satisfied Duryodhan when he came on his bedside to ask for assistance in the war. Whatever it is, the same thing Vritasura is saying here. यतो हरिर विजया श्री गुणास्तथा wherever there is Sri Krishna there is victory opulence and all good qualities glory family happiness wealth all that is only possible if Hari is with you you are surrendered to Hari so definitely you will kill me So suppose if Indra said, suppose if Indra says, listen, if I shoot this vajra at you, it will be very painful. Suppose if Indra said that, it will be very painful. That's why I don't want to kill you. Then Vitrasu says, no, I will not feel any pain. I am putting my mind here in Lord Sankarshan's lotus feet and come on, you shoot that vajra. I will not feel a thing. I will not even know when your vajra hit me. 21. Vittasu says, I will fix my mind upon my, I will fix my mind on the lotus feet of Lord Shankarshan. Samyak Adhai means I will fix my mind. Very firmly I will fix my mind upon the lotus feet. I will fix my mind and my mind will be fixed upon seeing the beautiful form of Sankarshan, his beauty and his form. I'm very much experienced in this. I know how to do this. And I will just totally engross my mind and my senses in looking at Lord Sankarshan. Why? Why? How do I know that? Because yatha mano sankarshanas tat charanarvinda. He says, direct Lord Sankarshan has instructed me how I can meditate on him. I have been taught this by directly by Lord Sankarshan himself. This katha had come earlier in the previous chapter, how when King Chitraketu, he is the person who became Vritasura, King Chitraketu, when he went to see Sankarshan, Lord Sankarshan, he was given this instruction by Lord Sankarshan himself before King Chitraketu got cursed by Parvati to take the body of a demon. So I will, according to how I have been taught, I will place my mind on the lotus feet of Sankarshan. And I will remain fixed in that thought. In that way, I will be thinking of Lord's beauty and his form and his leela, and at the same time your vajra will come at a great speed of a bullet. at me. He will cut my, he'll sever my karma bandhana. Gramya pash means, the pash means the rope of material attachment. It will just cut my, it will tear my, the rope of the material attachment immediately. And I will, what will happen to me? Munir gatim prapti. I will get that same gati that the munis get. In other words, wherever the devotees like Narada Muni go, I will get to go there after I leave this body. In this world, everybody leaves their body and goes away one by one. But everyone's destination is not the same. Different planets, different people go. But the munis, munir gati, but the munis, they go to the Lord's abode. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the person who keeps his mind in on the Supreme Lord and worships the Supreme Lord, he goes to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Everybody has to go one day. When somebody dies, the relatives, they say, oh, he has gone. He has gone. Who has gone? It is something to think about. Body is lying here. That means the owner of the body is gone. One time we were in a temple and one devotee comes. And he says to us, my father, his father had died, just died. He came to us and he said, my father has spoken surrender. We could not understand what he's saying, his father has surrendered. Then he says, he's gone. That we all know, he is gone, but where he is gone, we don't know. Isn't it? Even if we try to find out where he is gone, we cannot find out where he is gone. This process is so subtle that For one body to go to another body, it's so subtle. There's no instrument of the humans that they can detect to find out where some person has gone after death. Or if they can go on the internet or on the computer to find out where he's gone, it's not possible. Whether he's gone to the hell or heaven or the abode of the Supreme Lord, not able to tell. But somehow you can understand if somebody has gone to the spiritual world, we can tell that such a person, we can understand. And in the same way, we can also understand if somebody has gone to the hellish planet. We can understand where this Mahatma has gone according to his karma. One can be understood. In the Bhagavatam, there is a story when Ravan got killed by Sri Ram. Many wives of Ravan, they came and they started crying and lamenting over the body of Ravan. They were crying, weeping. They're saying in Sanskrit, his wives are crying and weeping and saying, "Oh my dear Lord husband, this country Lanka, Sri Lanka has become a widow." Means there is no king, so this whole our whole city country has become a widow. We, as it is, we are widows anyway, but the whole country has become widow. And your body has become food for vultures, and you, your soul has gone to hell, the hellish planets. Although he did not go to hell because the Lord, Supreme Lord, had killed him, but they were guessing that you must have gone to hell because you committed so many heinous crimes. His wives, when they were lamenting, they were thinking of all the things that he did in his life. They were all to torture other living entities, the demigods, the chaste wives, and Sita, and they could understand that you must have definitely gone to hell. No wife will say like that. No wife will ever say like that about her husband. But Ravan was such a sinful person that even his own wives were saying that you've gone to the hell, definitely you've gone to a hell. But no other person in the world, the relatives, they will ever say that their father or the loved one has gone to hell. They don't use this word. Even today in India, if somebody writes the news to you after, suppose their father has died, if they invite you to their house for Shraddha feast, they write the invitation, "My father has got Swargavas." Swargavas means he has attained the heavens. Please come. Or sometimes they say, "Oh, he has achieved Vaikunthavas or Ganga Labh, that he has reached Vaikuntha." Sometimes they say. Even till today, not even one person would have written in an invitation card that my father has got Narakvas, that he has attained hell. Please come to my house for the Shraddha. Even though he may have known that his father was very sinful, he would never write that. Nobody would write that. And also they shouldn't. Not necessary to write such things. But just by writing Swargavas or Vaikunthavas, just by writing, the person will not reach there. Suppose somebody, relative, was very sinful, he goes to hell, and the son writes that so-and-so person has got Swargavas or Vaikunthavas, doesn't mean that he will reach Swarga or Vaikuntha. What doesn't make it happen. When he is gone, he is gone. So the person should decide while living that what my son is going to write, it should not go in vain. That I should behave in a way that I will go to heavens or Vaikuntha.
Sahi sahi, usko hai ki hai, Vaikuntha jaye.
that my son should not have to write a lie. So what I was saying that no one in this world would write that my so-and-so has gone to hell. But Ravan's wives, they were directly saying, oh my lord, you did so many sinful things, you must have gone to hell. And thousands of people around were listening that your body has gone to vultures and you have gone to hell. So everyone, according to their karma, has their destination. But Munergati is where the munis go, where the devotees go. So here Sukadev Goswami says, what is the gati of this Vitasur? His gati is the Vaikuntha Dham. The Dham of Lord Sankarshan. He's saying that your fast moving vajra will cut my gramya pash, will cut my this rope of material attachment, and I will go to apavidha lokaha. I will go to that destination where sages like Narad Muni go. This word in this shloka, gramya pash, is very significant. Pash means rope, and gramya means in gram, in the society, what is to be enjoyed in the society. It's called gramya pash. In this world, gramya pash is considered to be the attachment that a woman has for a man and a man has for a woman. In this world, this is the real gramya pash. In this world, the other attachments to give up are easy, but this attachment between man and woman is very difficult to give up. Even at the time of death, people are meditating on this attachment. This is called gramya. And Bhagavan Rishabh Dev in the Bhagavatam, he says that's why it is difficult to give attachment to a woman, because the attachment is from both sides. And he's saying the other attachments of this world from the material things are from one side, like for you and the money, and you and a house. It's like one way. But the attachment with a woman, or for a woman for the man, is attachment from two ways. Suppose I am holding this stick with two hands. If I let go this hand is holding, pulling from this hand. If I let go this hand is pulling from this side. Suppose in a man and woman relationship, if a man wants to be a devotee, then woman is pulling him into material life. And if the woman wants to be a devotee, then the man is pulling him in material life. This is called hriday granthi. Paraspar hriday granthi means the attachment, the knot. Granthi means a knot in the heart from both sides. The knot is pulled from both sides. Therefore, it's hard to give up. Vritrasu is calling it gramya pash. This gramya pash is the most, the root of the attachment. So this is just one attachment, but as long as there's attachment to the body, there's so many other things. Let me enjoy this. Let me eat that, let me ride in this, let me live in this. All these are attachment. As long as there's attachment to the body, there's so many things that are to be enjoyed by the body. So he's saying, the speed of your vajra will cut my my gramya pash, will cut my rope of my material attachments so in so many pieces, it will tear it apart. But actually, Vritasura had no material attachment. He actually wanted to leave his body and go to Krishna. He is giving a siddhanta here that this is a worldly attachment is what bounds a person in this world. It's called karma bandhana. I will meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada here says the lesson to be learned is how to fix my one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. That at the time of death, we can think of Krishna with so much love that we don't even know when we left the body, what happened. He's saying to Indra, you shoot your vajra, and I'm going to start meditating on the Lord. I will not feel any pain. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that even though this body is not at all good, it is simply a cause of bondage to the material world. But unfortunately, even this body is this destined to die. Fools and rascals put all their faith in this body, and they're never eager to return home back to Godhead. Nobody, what to speak of, to plan to go back to Godhead. They have not even a desire that we'll go to the Lord's abode. Rather they pray. Maybe they have the desire that if I die, please let me come back in Houston and do this, this and this. But all this downtown Disneyland, this will be all taken away. People think we are so fortunate we're living in America, such a wonderful place, but when the body is about to leave you, what else is there? What can be done? This is a very foolish thing to think that we are very happy here and everything is very nice. I have a house, I have money. These are all the source of miseries. One should think of going to abode of the Lord, or going to Vaikuntha, just like Vritasura here is thinking, let death come, let me go back to Godhead. I have nothing to do with your heavenly planets and the enjoyments of this material world. In this way he's praying. But he's saying, suppose if Indra says that maybe what if Krishna wants you to take the vajra and kill me, and then for you to become the lord of heavenly planets then? Then Vritasura says, text 22. Verse 22.